Today on Raising Your Paws, teach your kitten right from the start to like their cat carrier. Then, another great reason to ditch the food bowl and feed your dog in other simple ways. Plus, an app you've got to hear about that offers rewards for walking the dog. Welcome. This is Raising Your Paws, easy tips and practical solutions for caring for the four-legged members of the family. Presented by Nutrisource Pet Foods, a family like no other. I'm your host, Susan Frank. This is episode 102. We're still celebrating reaching 100 episodes by giving away 3 months of free pet food to two lucky winners. Get your chance to win by leaving a comment about one of the 100th shows on the episode page on the website, raisingyourpaws.com, or tell us what you think of the podcast on our Raising Your Paws Facebook page. We'll randomly select two winners from the comments. If you like sports or outdoor life podcasts, be sure to check out our new producers' other podcasts at TalkNorth.com. They're the largest sports, outdoor, and lifestyle podcast network in the upper Midwest. So, you have a new kitten. Congratulations. You're in for a lot of fun and love. Also, since you're mom to this new kitty, you'll be teaching it a number of things, like how to like the cat carrier. You may have already brought the kitten home in one, and that went fine. But since in the future you'll be taking the cat for rides in the car to the vet, at least, you'll want to make sure the carrier is seen as a positive place to be by kitty. If you don't already have a carrier, then you're going to want to get one. Why do you need it? For safety's sake. Cats must ride inside carriers while in the car. If a cat is loose, they often want to hide while riding in cars, and they have a habit of either hunkering down under the pedals in the front, which is a real distraction and possible problem for the driver, or cats tend to wedge themselves deep under the seats. A friend of mine once spent over 4 hours and then the rest of the day looking everywhere in her car for the cat that had not been crated. The cat was nowhere. My friend was convinced her kitty must have gotten out and escaped at some point. By the next day, the cat made its presence known. Yes, it had been in the car. Being hungry is what probably encouraged her to make herself visible. Even well-behaved cats that are not contained could be injured if you get into a car accident. If the cat is sitting on the front seat, it can get squashed by the airbag. And if you have to stop suddenly or if you get hit, a loose feline becomes a projectile and will go flying. I was rather foolish in this regard, because when I first had my cat, Willie, I'd let him sit on my lap while driving. I gotta admit, I know I was lucky, but rather stupid. We never expect that there's going to be an accident. In fact, we think there won't ever be. But when it comes to the life of your cat, that is a fantasy that you really don't want to believe. So get that carrier and plan to use it. And start right by making it a nice place to be before you ever have to take your cat somewhere in it that they might not like, such as the vets. Cats learn to fear their carriers if the only time they see it appear is when it is taken out of the closet, then the cat is scooped up and shoved inside, then they're taken from their familiar territory, and the next thing they know, they're dragged out of the case, plopped on a slippery, cold metal surface, and some strange person is there to poke and prod them. Of course, they come to associate the sight of the crate with the unpleasant experience of going to the vet. By the way, there are the type of carriers where the four sides and the top actually lift right up off of the base. This is a great idea because when you get to the vet, you don't have to pull your cat out. Just lift off the top and let the cat stay comfy and safe on the base when being examined. So, to prevent a bad association to the carrier, you're going to create just the opposite and train your kitty to connect the carrier with fun, positive experiences. The way to do this is in steps. To gain acceptance of the carrier, first make it very familiar. So, you've just brought the kitty home, and you're going to make the carrier just another piece of furniture. Set it on the floor in the corner of the kitty's safe room with the door open all the time. By safe room, I mean this is the first room in the house you bring your cat to stay in for a day or two with a litter box and their food, and it helps them adjust to the new home before, you know, seeing the rest of the house. In that safe room with the carrier there, you're simply going to let the cat explore the box at his own leisure. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just allow the kitten to approach, maybe cheek rub the outside so it smells like himself, and let the cat go in or out on its own. Then when your cat graduates to living in the rest of the house, take the crate and place it in safe, familiar places like your bedroom or family or living room. Leave the sides and top doors open so your cat can walk or jump in at any time. Make it a comfy place by putting a snuggly small blanket inside or even a fuzzy shirt that you have worn. That makes the connection between the carrier and your familiar and trusted scent. Make the carrier fun. Toss a toy inside for the cat to go in and get. Ping pong balls are great for this, and they bounce around inside the hard crates really nicely. Lure your kitten inside the case when you are playing with, like, the laser toys and have them chase the red dot, or poke a feather in and out and let the cat chase it while being inside the case. Save a favorite toy like the catnip mouse for only when your kitten is near or inside the carrier. That will increase the benefit of hanging out there. Remember, you're not closing the door at all yet. Throw some yummy treats in the case for kitty to discover at unexpected times. If they figure out that every now and then they're going to find something delicious, they'll be more likely to explore and discover that the crate is a wonderful place. Make sure you use high-value treats and only those for that situation. Once the cat begins to visit the box on her own, you can occasionally feed her a really good meal while inside. Try occasionally moving the crate to a higher elevation spots to give them the added attraction of a lookout. Put it in a location your cat already loves, like on a table right next to a sunny window that they can look out while sitting in the carrier. Make sure the carrier is stable and cannot fall off whatever high surface you are using. Once your cat is willingly going in and out, it's time to teach them some tolerance of being in there. When the cat is happily resting in the crate, shut the door briefly. Then let kitty out. Give the cat something good to munch, praise him, and maybe play with a toy while she's still inside. Repeat this several times over the next few days, each time letting the kitten out after a few minutes. Now you'll want to extend the crate time. By the end of the first week, I'd say, you can begin increasing the time the kitten spends inside the crate with the door shut. So 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you get the idea. Some cats will be calmer while they're sitting inside the carrier with the door shut if you cover it with a towel, because this shuts out any visual stimulation that may cause some additional stress. Your next step is to get them used to being carried around in the box. Once the cat feels comfortable in the carrier with the door shut, drop in a few treats and then pick up the carrier while she's in it and carry her around a bit. Then put it down and let the cat out. Give another treat or play a game as soon as you let him out. Practice this over and over on different days. You can do these same things to make the carrier a good thing with an older cat as well. It's never too late. However, if your cat already hates their carrier with a passion, I'd recommend starting over with a new one. Get a fresh carrier that looks and smells different. As soon as you bring it home, place something that smells like your cat in it. Put it out in the room, like just another piece of furniture, and let your cat hang out in it with the doors open, and plan to leave it there for at least a few weeks before you actually need to transport kitty in it. And do all the same steps as I described. I know it seems like this is a lot of work to do, but think of how much your cat likes playing in cardboard boxes. Make the crate a happy, familiar place to be in that occasionally moves, and it's going to make taking your cat places so much less of a nightmare for both of you. On this show, I've talked about an easy way you can provide your dog with more physical and mental stimulation, which makes them happier and healthier, simply by using different methods of feeding them besides pouring or plopping the food in their bowl. This same subject came up a few weeks ago when I was talking to Ben Rimby, head dog trainer from Lucky Mutt Dog Training, in episode 100. He is also the head dog trainer for the performing disc dogs called Fairly Odd Dogs on social media. Ben talked about one of the main ways you can train your dogs through what they call ditching the bowl. He's got some really fun and easy suggestions for how to feed your dogs and make it very engaging while strengthening your bond with them all at the same time. I asked Ben why stopping using the typical food bowl for feeding my dog is such a good idea.
Main reason for us is we saw the benefits of it. The main benefit of it is that it keeps us, our household, consistent about keeping up on the training, because it's easy to fall into just what's happening every day, you know, in everyday life. You get caught up in things, you get too busy for things. And to ensure that we make time for each one of our dogs, and for a lot of people, they struggle to make training time for their one or two dogs in their house,
right.
Every single day. But if we built that habit into taking 5 minutes with each dog, and taking that time to train with them, we saw just an explosion on their progress in training tricks, sports, focus, calmness, obedience, everything that we wanted to work on. And instead of making the bowl the most rewarding thing in their life, it makes you the most rewarding thing in your dog's life. And that's been the easiest way to get our clients' dogs listening to their people better, because most dogs view that bowl as the most exciting part of their day. But instead, you ditch that and you have a daily food allowance that you give to your dog, and you now are the ultimate resource for your dog.
In two of your blogs about ditching the bowl, you refer to some studies that have shown that dogs actually much prefer working for their meals rather than simply being given it. The dogs in the study were excited not only by the expectation of a reward, but also about realizing that they themselves could control their access to the reward. Problem-solving opportunities resulted in happy excitement and increased tail wagging, indicating their positive emotions as they were able to forage for their food. It gives them what's called the eureka moment. You know, like, I found it, and now I get to eat it. Yippee! What's your favorite technique? Because there's lots of different ways, you know, that the dogs can forage for the food on their own. But what's your favorite thing, Ben, that you do?
I love snuffle mats. I love dog puzzles. But also to that snuffle mat point, I also think scatter feeding in the grass, just throwing your dog's food into the grass and letting them forage for it out there, is another great way to do it. For that concept, and they search around and they got a bigger area. That's like the ultimate snuffle mat.
A snuffle mat is a large flat square of fabric with some other material such as felt sewn onto it, making a three-dimensional design. Mine looks like a giant flower. It has hundreds of flaps and folds, and so you scatter and place kibble or treats under the flaps and then let your dog use their nose to hunt out the hidden food. It's great fun. I'll include a photo of Rosie with her snuffle mat, and I'll put it on the episode page for the show.
Those are things that Anna and I do for like a lazier day, or we do that for like one of the meals a day, or we'll use more of a puzzle snuffle mat type deal. But we take one of the other meals for my favorite portion. My favorite way to do it is to dedicate 5 minutes to working on a skill that I want to work on with my dog. So instead of using treats for everything, I'm actually using my dog's food for it, their kibble. And you can make your sit even better. You can make your stay better. You can make your focus better through concept games. And you could train them in almost any trick you want. Pretty much every trick that you see our dogs do was trained through ditching the bowl and an evening time training session.
So if I wanted to feed, Rosie gets canned food and kibble. So do you have a suggestion for a way to have Rosie forage for that food or spend more time and use her brain with canned food?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, you could, a lot of times we feel like we need to just put the canned food in a bowl, and, you know, because it's kind of, you know, it's soft and it's hard to work with at times, but there's no reason you couldn't still work with that food through training and get creative with it by using some sort of like a spoon or something, because you don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily need to come straight from your hand. You could quick do it like they do their thing, and you could scoop out some of the canned food and give it to them. Because you kind of have to get creative when you're using softer foods, but you could put gloves on depending on the texture and take bits of the canned food and give it to them as a reward, just as you would kibble. Kibble's just a little bit cleaner. or, you know, it's kind of, you know, it just feels kind of gross sticking your hand into canned food. Just wash them after, I guess, or have your dog lick it off. but what you should really, you know, that'd be one way. Or just separate the canned food from the kibble and you feed both, but use the kibble for the training. And then I would likely put the canned food into some sort of a puzzle, like a Kong or some sort of a puzzle feeder like that, where they can lick it out and have more enrichment out of it, or a slow feeder bowl and spread it out through there so they have to lick through the different grooves for it.
Yes, and I use those things. And a game that I also play is I will take Rosie's portion of the wet food and I'll divide it up into 8 or 10 little bowls, and I make her sit in one part of the house, and then I go hide all those bowls, and then I let her go find. And so she, she's looking all over the house for those.
Perfect. I love that. That's a great idea for that.
You mentioned cardboard castles, and you have a blog article about this, but briefly, what are cardboard castles? What's that game?
Yeah. This is definitely one of our favorite confidence building games. I guess we didn't talk about that as much, but a lot of these concept games help build your dog's confidence because they're working with you and they're getting rewarded so much. And this is one that gets your dogs used to different textures and different noises as well. It's something that we teach in our Rockstar Puppy Academy, which is an online course that we have, and our Rockstar Dog Academy. This is something that we work on a lot with our rescue dogs, especially who've come from different situations, to get them more used to different textures and sounds. And you essentially take a box, any sort of box, just like a small one, like a little Amazon box, and anytime you get a delivery, you should maybe save a few of those boxes so that you can play this game with your dog. And you can throw their food into just a single box as is. That in itself is enough for the first time doing it. But the key is to make it a little different every time. So the first time you do it, you just have a simple empty box, and your dog has to stick their head into the box and eat the food, which for a lot of dogs is actually kind of weird, because they stick their head into it and they get kind of the sound effect of the kibble moving around when they're in there. Mm-hmm. And the sides of the box come up and echo that sound around. And it's just a little bit different. And then you take a couple boxes and you do that. Okay. And if your dog is showing confidence in it, I see a lot of dogs do this their first time around, and they actually, their tail's kind of down. They're a little bit on the timid side with it. But as they do it, they build confidence and they start to realize, oh, this isn't scary. This is an access to food. This is actually kind of fun and cool. Then you add some like tissue paper to it. Or just anything around the house that's kind of goofy that can make kind of a sound or be a weird texture. You could have newspaper crumpled up. Some people put like plastic bottles in there too. And you just make it a little bit different every day that you work on it. And it's a great way to build up a dog's confidence. And over time, you can also just stack up, a small little castle of boxes. And then if a box falls over, if you build it up from the ground up and you start off slow with just one box, and over the weeks you build up to having 4, 5, 6 boxes, then if a box falls, your dog's not afraid of it. But you don't start with a castle to begin with, because that might scare a dog and not want to do it if you started with a castle to begin with from day one.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea. And the number of boxes could be endless. And what a
exactly.
wonderful time-consuming activity and fun for everybody.
Yep.
I've been talking to Ben Rimby, head dog trainer with Lucky Mutt Dog Training, located in Minnesota. And he's also the trainer for the Fairly Odd Dogs you can see on social media that perform and compete in disc dog games. You'll find the links to Lucky Mutt Dog Training's website, as well as the links to see the Fairly Odd Dogs, on the show notes at raisingyourpaws.com and at talknorth.com. Do you like to keep track of how many steps you walk? Or have you ever walked to raise money for a charity or a cause? If you have a dog, I know you're out walking him or her. There is a fun app I just found out about the other day that I want to tell you about that combines those two things. It's called Woof Tracks, spelled WOOFTRAX, that will keep track of how long you and your dog are walking. And it makes money at the same time to support your local favorite animal organization. Woof Tracks creates fundraising opportunities for shelters and rescues while encouraging you and your dog to exercise together regularly. And every walk counts for them, whether you're walking around the block or taking a 3-mile hike. The idea is you can use the app each time you grab for the leash and head out the door. Here's how it works. After you download and set up the app on your smartphone, you take your phone with you when you walk your dog or dogs. Simply press the Start Walking button and the app will keep track of your walk. When you are done walking, you press Stop Walking or Finish, depending upon your device. Then either a blue cloud or a green heart that appears next to the walk on the history screen indicates the walk was successfully logged for your selected organization. And if you don't have a dog, you can still use the app and make money for organizations to help dogs. There is an option on the app where you walk with Cassie, their chief virtual walking companion. I'll include her photo on the episode page also. She is really cute. So as the app says, don't just take your dog for a walk. Take your walk for a dog. And support your local animal shelter every time you walk them. This is so cool. I'll include the link to wooftracks.com so you can learn more about it on the full show notes for this episode. And I'm going to download the app and start using it when I take out Rosie for her walks. Remember, get your chance to win 3 months of free pet food. Just leave me a comment about one of our 100th episodes, either 100, 101, or 102, at our website, raisingyourpaws.com. Go to the episode page and leave your comments there. We'll randomly select 2 winners from the comments. Good luck, and as always, I really thank you for listening.